Today's sermon will be coming from the book of Romans. So as you can start turning there, if you don't know where Romans is, there is a table of contents in your Bible. Go find Romans in the New Testament section, and you'll know where to go from there. The series that we're covering this month is called Even When It's Complicated. Last series was called Keep It Simple, and we talked about presenting the gospel and presenting the gospel and making sure that it's kept simple. At the same time, we are now addressing some of the more complicated aspects of this gospel. And we won't have time to cover everything, but we are trying to cover what we can. Last Sunday, we talked about just because you give it doesn't mean they'll receive it. Some of you may remember I went a little off book last week. I was still in the book. I was just not in my playbook. And some general points was that to just recognize that a lot of people will not change. You know, you may try to present the gospel to them. You might try to do all these things for them, but they just simply won't change. There's a lot that just simply will not change. And that sounds defeating, but you know, we also cover this. Keep going. God still has, you know, people for you to reach. Don't give up. And then I ended the sermon by telling you not to expect results on earth. The problem is when we start expecting people to respond the way we expect them to. Don't expect results on earth, but always expect rewards in heaven. Every single good deed will be accounted for. Every single good deed will be marked and attributed to us. Amen. So, again, if you would like to hear the sermon, all of our sermons are on our website, sjbcla.org. Think St. John Baptist Church, Los Angeles, sjbcla.org. And then go to the sermons page. You will find every sermon that we've since 2018, I believe, almost every sermon since 2018. Including this one. This one is up there. You can also find us in streaming platforms. You can look at the streaming platforms in the program. But I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Romans, and then turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Chapter 11. Again, Romans, if you don't know where to find it, look in the table of contents. Romans is in the New Testament section, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And then once you are at Romans, go to the big number 11, that is the chapter. And then once you are at chapter 11, what we're going to do is we're going to read from the seventh verse. So the seventh verse. Romans 11, chapter 7. If you have to say amen. If you weren't able to say amen, do not worry. I will try to do my best to keep the scriptures on the screen for you. The book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 7. Out of the Christian Standard Bible version, that is what I'm displaying on the screen, but you will find similar words printed in your text. The book of Romans, 11th chapter, 7th verse, and it reads as follows. It says, "What then? Israel did not find what it was looking for, but the elect did find it. The rest were hardened." The title of this sermon, and y'all not gonna like it, and I'm just gonna tell you straight up. The title of this sermon is as follows. It says, "If you want to leave God, he might help you pack." I already know that's going to make some of us mad. That's going to make some of us upset. I don't know everyone's lives here, but have you ever seen or heard of a child getting kicked out of their father's house? Again, I'm not trying to tell everybody's family business. But if you have seen that, I want you to imagine that image of the son just upset and doesn't even want to live in the house. And imagine the father of the house saying, you know what, if you want to leave, I'm going to help you pack. I'm going to put stuff in your bag. I'm going to grab stuff out the dresser and I'm going to put it in your bag for you. And then help them get into the door and help them walk outside the door. And the father closes it. The end. That's it. Now, I have a question for you. Is the father wrong? Oh, it got real quiet. It got real quiet in here. Because if you say yes, I'm telling you, you are going to hate the sermon. Because the truth is that when you look through Scripture, and we're going to cover through some of it today, God actually does harden people's hearts. Wait a minute. What? Wait. If people are trying to leave God, sometimes God helps them leave. Don't worry, I'm not preaching for amens and hallelujahs and thank you Jesuses. You know, but some of our Bible scholars remember a Pharaoh. God hardened his heart. Well, some people say he did that to himself, but it also says that God hardened his heart. Some of us don't even have to look back, you know, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Some of us know examples in our own lives. Some people walk away and it just seems like they accelerate. When they walk away from God, it seems like they just accelerate. And in some cases, God is hardening their hearts to accelerate the process of them leaving God. Y'all not gonna like this. Why in the world would God do that? And I know some of y'all are looking at me and saying, you know what, I don't believe this. I he's just taking the Bible out of context. Don't worry, we about to read something, okay? Why would God do this? And this is something that the Apostle Paul is struggling with. He's realizing that Israel has rejected Christ and God, and he already has talked about that God does not reject his people. In fact, he saves some of them. But let's look at verse 7. Verse 7, it says, "What then? Israel did not find what it was looking for, but the elect did find it. The rest were hardened." Here's the first point I'm going to bring up, and we're going to get into that a little bit more. Why would God harden your heart? There's three reasons I'm going to cover, and then we're going to be done. One is because God is helping you do what you want to do anyway. Prove it. Romans 11th chapter 7 through 10th verse. "What then? Israel did not find what it was looking for, but the elect did find it. The rest were hardened." It was done. They were hardened. Now, some of you technical scholars might say, well, it just says they were hardened. It didn't say God did it. Caught you, Pastor. Keep reading. Verse 8. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor. Let me translate that. God made them stupid. God does that? God, you know, the Holy Spirit illuminates us. He gives us knowledge. He don't make us stupid. Y'all read, what it say in y'all Bible? Do it say somebody else? God gave them, this is referencing scripture, their scripture. God gave them a spirit of stupor. What else he give them? Eyes that cannot see. Ooh, goodness. And ears that cannot hear. To this day. Y'all not gonna like this sermon. Verse 9. And David says, understand, David, a man after God's own heart, is being quoted positively in this scripture. Let their table become a snare and a trap. David is praying to God about his enemies. Let their table, please God, make their table become a snare and a trap, a pitfall and a retribution to them. Verse 10, let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and their backs be bent continually. So Paul is quoting scripture that not only says God does it, but is also talking about how people after God's own heart pray for it and it happens. Even when it's complicated. Now, some of y'all ready to walk out, and I understand. But what I want you to understand, again, is I'm going to go back to this point. God is helping you do what you want to do anyway. When you look throughout scripture, including the scripture that we have read, what God is doing is not that, oh, people want to love God and they really want to hear about Jesus and God just says, nope. No, that's not what's happening. What God is doing is saying people that want to leave the house anyway, he just helps them. He helps them get out. He makes people stupid. I'm sorry, St. John, but some of us have talked to members or former members of St. John, and you know what Sunday school classes they were in. You know what preaching they were under. And when you talk to them, you are just confused because it's like, how did you forget? Maybe that's just me. Never mind. And sometimes in those cases, God helps them forget. God helps them be stupid, be blind, be deaf. Huh. But again, God is helping them do what they want to do anyway. Now, why would he do this? Why would he do this? Don't worry, I'm moving. Why would he do this? This is the point, one of the big points that I'm trying to make here is that when it comes to serving God, whenever we won't serve God, sometimes God makes it so that we can't serve God. Since we won't obey him, then God makes it so that we can't obey him. Why is that? You know, do you realize when you sin, you grieve God? He is sad. As a Christian, he is sad. I know, you know, us preachers, we preach about the wrath of God and how he's going to, you know, destroy the wicked and all that. And yes, that is true. There is that component. But when one of his kids walks away, that hurts. Do y'all see that? Some of y'all might know this from hearing or seeing people get kicked out. Some of y'all know this a little, you know, from firsthand experience. It hurts. It hurts when a child refuses to listen to their parents. It hurts when a child says he wants to leave and the parent is begging the child to stay, begging the child to turn around, begging the child to just reconsider what they're thinking. But the child continually rejects what the parent teaches over and over and over and over. And so when the parent kicks the child out, it was never the first option. It was always the last. Because no good parent wants to kick their child out of their house. It hurts. It hurts. But so what God does is he helps us pack, because you know what? If you help them pack and you kick them out, and let me make this worse, and let's say then you change address. You move. So that even if the child could try to come back, wanted to come back, they can't come back. You see the difference? If you move, it's no longer if the child wants to come back, that they won't come back. It's that they can't come back. What am I trying to say? What am I trying to say? When we won't, it hurts God. But when we can't, it hurts him less. And that is sad to say. That is sad to say. It hurts God less when you can't do something versus when you won't do something. If you asked me to come over there and give you something, it hurts less if I don't have the ability. Rather, I just don't feel like it. If I don't have the money, that's okay. But when I do have the money and I can help you and I choose not to help you, that hurts. Y'all see the difference? So what God does is in the case of continual, repeated rejection, he makes us stupid, he blinds us, he takes away our hearing so that we can't hear him, we can't see him, we can't recognize the things that he's doing in our lives, we can't give him glory for the things that he's done. We can't do this because it hurts him when we can and we're supposed to and we know it and then we don't. That hurts. And honestly, not only does it hurt him less, but when we can't, it hurts you less. What you mean? Do you realize that in the end, God is going to hold us responsible? Right? And so, God is going to hold us responsible for everything we've done. And God can look at our lives and say, You know, if we couldn't come back to Jesus, couldn't do what he wanted us to do, couldn't do that, that's less of a punishment than if we just felt like we just weren't going to do it. So in a weird way, God is actually being gracious to you. You who are walking away from God, you who are leaving God, you who don't want nothing to do with God, God is actually being gracious to you by making you blind and deaf and stupid. He's actually trying to lessen your punishment even though you hate him. He's actually trying to help you out a little bit. Complicated, complicated. Keep moving. Verse 11. Then Paul comes into this question. He says, I ask then, have they stumbled so as to fall? So God has, you know, done all this and that's it? That's the end? The end of the sermon? Is that the end? And God and Paul says something different, which is point number two. Why would God harden your heart? Point number two is because God wants to make you jealous. Oh boy. Oh boy. Nobody likes the sermon, Reverend Burks. It's okay. Verse 11. I ask then, have they stumbled so as to fall? Absolutely not. On the contrary, by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to do what? To make Israel jealous. Now, I want to make sure we understand that word, jealous. Y'all ever experienced jealous people in your lives? I want to make sure we understand the difference, because sometimes people use envy in the same way as jealous, but it's a little different, because envy says, I wish that was mine. Whereas jealousy says, nah, that's mine. That's mine. Why is this difference important? When Paul is talking about how Israel is being, how God has moved on to the Gentiles, he's trying to make Israel jealous. Why? Because Israel, when we talk about Yahweh, the God of the Bible, Israel's like, that's my God. That's my God. That's my dad. That's my father. And now my father's over there with a whole bunch of different kids. But that's my father. That's what God was trying to get out of Israel, is for them to say, no, that's mine. That's my salvation. Let me translate this. Sometimes God may give your blessings to others just to make you jealous. I know, in the sermon, I know. Sometimes God causes things in your life to happen. I'm talking to Christians. God causes things in your life to happen specifically to make you jealous. Somebody knows what it's like when we have an ex-husband or ex-wife, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, and then they move on. And they happy. I mean, happy, happy. I mean, you can tell just by the way they smile, just by how high it goes. It's like, oh, they're actually happy. Start doing the things that y'all used to do and giving gifts that y'all, you used to get. Hello? And what's your feeling? Ugh. Who she thinks she is? He what he doing? We start comparing. At least I'm, you know, richer. At least I'm got my house. We just start getting so jealous. Sometimes, if we lose a position or an opportunity, and somebody else with less qualifications gets your position, and then on top of that gets all the accolades, gets all the spotlight, gets all the praise, when you know it was supposed to be you, ugh. Who they think they are? Somebody said, they ain't nobody. Where am I going with this? Where am I going with this? God wanted Israel to feel this. This is not normal preaching, I know. But God wanted Israel to feel jealous, not envy, because that's the same thing as coveting, which is, the 10th commandment. Jealous. God himself describes himself as a jealous God. He wanted Israel to feel jealous. Sometimes when we disobey God and just continually walk away from him, God removes our blessings and then sometimes gives them to other people, literally just to tick you off. That is the reason. Some of us are trying to find reason. Oh, why did God do this? Why? It's because you walked away from him. It's because you don't listen to him. And sometimes God wants to do this and take away the blessings and give them to other people who don't deserve it just so you can be like, come on, God. What happened? You were supposed to, that was supposed to be mine. I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to be doing this. God sometimes wants you to feel this. It's getting complicated. Why? Because if you are jealous, do you realize that if you are jealous at all for anything, it means you still care? Oh, Lord. Some of us, know about exes that still keep checking in, still want to know how so-and-so is doing. Why do you care? Shouldn't you have moved on? Shouldn't you have done something different? But they keep trying to find out what you're doing. They keep trying to find out what's going on. They keep trying to find out, How's so-and-so doing at that job? Just curious. How's so-and-so's kids? I'm just interested. It's because when you're jealous, that means you still care. And think about it. If God is trying to make you jealous, think about it this way. God is trying to make sure you still care. God is still trying to make sure that even though he has helped you pack, even though he has helped you move out the house, even though he has changed address so that you can't get back, even if you wanted to, he just wants to know, do you want to come home? That's what God wants to do you want to come home? Do you want to go back to that life when it was good and God was taking care of you and even when things happened that God showed his love and mercy towards you and he continued to work things out and even though these hardships came up, there was always a way around them. Don't you miss that? Don't you miss that relationship with God? Don't you miss that simple relationship with God that you had where you could just read your Bible and you could pray to him and don't you miss that? That's what God is trying to do. And think about it this way too, because if God is still making you jealous, it also means he still cares too. Because here's the assumption that so many of us have, is that when we think of God hardening hearts, when we think of God helping us to leave, helping us to pack and move out, we think God is rejecting us. But what if God is doing everything possible to bring you back? And this is the only way that this is happening. Good parents, if they have to kick their kid out, it doesn't mean they stop loving on them. It doesn't mean they stop checking up on them. It doesn't mean they don't care about them. What it means is that this is the road necessary to preserve the relationship later on. And even though they don't understand it, even though they're in their feelings and doing what they want, maybe, hopefully, by letting them go, that later on they would come back. Some of us have heard the phrase, if you love a person, you gotta let them leave. Sometimes, if you love somebody, you've got to let them figure out what life is like without God, without you helping God, or without the help from you, and without the help from God. Sometimes people need to figure that out for themselves. And when we keep trying to pull them in, and we keep trying to baby them, and we keep trying to coddle them, and they still spit in your face, they still slap you, they still talking back, you are actually enabling the problem, because they're not getting better. The way they would get better is if they left, but you don't want them to leave, you want them to stay, and so here's the cycle continues. I have just described a whole lot of abusive relationships. And yes, this is, let me call it a different word. You know, the young people use this word. You know, if we think about this, this sounds toxic. And I'm telling you this because sometimes God will endure a toxic relationship with us. Oh, Lord. This whole cycle, the fact that we're talking about God helping you pack and getting out, and then hopefully you'll come back. He wants you to care because he wants you to be jealous so that you would care. And he wants you to care too. And he's just looking out. That's toxic, y'all. That is drama. But God is willing to be in a toxic, dramatic relationship with you if it means you will come back. That is mind-blowing. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on it. That does not mean you need to be in everybody's toxic relationships. Hello? In fact, part of people's problem with God is that they stay in toxic relationships with somebody else. And that toxicity is messing up God and what God has with you. But sometimes God is willing to deal with a toxic relationship with you just so that later on, perhaps you would come back. And let me get to this last point, because I know some of us are hungry. Why would God harden your heart? Exactly for that reason. Because God wants you to come back. It sounds so backwards. It sounds so strange. But God might be hardening your heart so that later on you would have the heart to come back. Verse 12, now if their transgression brings riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fullness bring? Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, and so far as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Verse 14, look at this. If I might somehow This is Paul talking. If I might somehow make my own people jealous and save some of them. For if their rejection brings reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? This sounds like such a backward strategy, but I want you to think about something. Imagine if you actually came back to God. Imagine if you decided to leave and God helped you pack and you are out and you can't find the address. But one day you come to your senses like the prodigal son and say, what am I doing out here doing this? What am I out here doing that? Why am I drunk and high at the same time right now? I know better. Why am I with so-and-so who is destroying my life? I know better. Why am I out here misrepresenting the God that I claim to have loved once upon a time? I know better than this. I have done better than this. I hope that this forgiveness stuff is true. I hope that this Jesus thing is real because I want to come back to God. I am done. I have followed my ways. I have gone out. I have done everything I want to do. But Daddy, I want to come home. I'm tired. I don't want to be out here. I'm tired of walking away from you. I'm tired of rejecting you. I'm tired of acting like I don't know where I come from. Bring me back. And imagine that I could imagine the fear that you may have that God would reject you, that he would not want anything to do with you. But what if God is standing there with open arms and says, James, here's the address. Come here. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to come. I'll send somebody to get you. I'll send somebody to pick you up and to bring you home. What if we actually came back to God? What if, after all of this, that this was the strategy that worked so that we could have a real and true relationship with God? I can tell you from personal experience, yes, I grew up in the church. Yes, I believe to love God. I claim to love God. But I remember a point in my life where I was bored. I did not want to have anything to do with God. I couldn't deny him. You know, he exists and Jesus, you know, came and did all that. Of course, I couldn't deny him. But honestly, I just didn't want to have anything to do with him. I was trying to walk away. I was trying to do my own thing. I was trying to see how I could get away from him. And you know what? There was a point that God said, you know what? If you are trying this hard, here you go. Here you go. And just for a little while, I experienced life without God. I experienced what it was like for me to have no protection. For me to have nothing to come back to. I experienced what it was like for me to do everything that I wanted just to wind up in a big old mess. And it was at that point that I realized, God, I want to come back, but I'm too ashamed to come back because I rejected you. And God says, you know what? Just come back, son. Come back. Because do you know why I sent Jesus Christ to this earth? It's for people like you. He went and died on that cross for all your sins, even the ones that you did when you walked away, even the sin of walking away, even the sin of being in the house and wanting to walk away. He died for all those sins and he was buried, but on the third day he rose from the grave so that you may have life, so that you can have access to the tree of life, and so that you can come home whenever you are ready. You may have given up on God, James, but guess what? Jesus never gave up on you. Some of us need to hear that today. Because God has removed blessings from some of our lives. God has left us to our own devices, and we got ourselves in a big old mess. Some of us know what life is like without God. But I have come to tell you, don't you ever be too ashamed to come back to the house. Don't you ever be too ashamed to come back and lift his name up. Don't you ever be too ashamed to come back and not just call him master, not just call him Lord, but to call him dad. Don't you ever be too ashamed. Because yes, God will harden your heart to help you do what you want to do anyway. But God's whole plan is to make you jealous so that you can come back. Let's end the sermon. If I can leave you with one point, if we could just take one point away from here. Yes, if you want to leave God, he might help you pack. But if you return, he will help you unpack. He'll be there. He'll be there waiting for you. When you're ready. When you're ready to give your life to him. He'll be there. He'll be waiting. He'll be waiting, and he'll love you, and it won't even be all that happened will be behind the water. It'll be under a bridge. It'll be old. He just wants you to come back, like any good parent. He doesn't want to kick you out the house, but he has. But he wants you to come back. If you return, he will help you unpack.